It's Holden Kushner. It's the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network. Can we just start with this real quick? Daylight savings time. I'm done with it. I know a lot of people have hit me up on Twitter at Holden Radio and said, oh, it's daylight savings time. It's done. No, it's not done. Didn't get through the House and the Senate and the president. So we still have daylight savings time. Everybody's exhausted. I'm exhausted. My kids are exhausted. But I do have a little bit of energy for one thing. March Madness, baby. I got to tell you about the four games that are being played here in Denver. We don't have any Colorado games or Colorado teams, I should say, but we do have some NCAA games here, and that should be spectacular. Also, Broncos free agency. Got to get into the free agency now because that is officially open. And then the Nuggets. I mean, it's a little rough right now with these last three games. Plus, my buddy Ian St. Clair, Play Colorado, playcolorado.com, Mile High Report. Got to talk some Avalanche with him. But let's start with something that happened over the weekend. Cortland Sutton of the Broncos, he said, I just want to be somewhere where I'm wanted. And then there's the report that other teams are interested in Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I think it's interesting because Sutton, he has not played to his contract. There have been injuries last year for whatever reason, whether it be Russell Wilson not getting in the ball or maybe it's on him. He was not productive last year either. Now, the Broncos do appreciate Cortland Sutton to the point to where they gave him almost $35 million, 34.9 to be exact. So I think the Broncos have shown Cortland Sutton some love. And it's where he's wanted. Now, there are teams that are calling the Broncos apparently for both wide receivers. And the report came out that they're not dealing them. I think you deal either one of them. You get a first rounder for Jeudy, you deal him. You get a second rounder for Sutton, you deal him. I just don't know if they can get that type of return for these two players. So apparently multiple teams have called the Broncos to inquire about Sutton and Jeudy. And then there's Diana Rossini, young lady I know with ESPN. I was told Denver's not shopping them, but reminded every GM takes the call. And again, it really depends on the return here. Can you get a second for Sutton? Can you get a first for Jeudy? I think there's a better chance of getting a first for Jeudy than there is a second for Sutton. So maybe you look at it that way. But boy, did Jerry Jeudy catch his footing toward the end of last season. We saw how explosive he was. So I'm not taking a back-end first-round pick for Jeudy. I think he's worth a mid-round first-round pick now, especially with this team and the amount of holes they have to fill, which we'll get into in just a moment. But Matt Parrino, who's a Buffalo Bills beat writer, suggested a trade. He said the Broncos would get Ed Oliver, who would be Draymond Jones' replacement, and Gabriel Davis. So Gabe Davis, who I don't want to call him a one-trick pony, but he's a deep threat. He usually blows up three or four times a season and then is non-existent for other games. But, I mean, what have we really seen out of Cortland Sutton at this point with that gigantic contract? So, Ed Oliver, Gabriel Davis for Cortland Sutton and one of Denver's back-to-back third-round picks this year. Well, they do have to, they've got to replace Draymond Jones. Oliver would do that. They would have to replace Sutton. They would do that. The problem is they don't have many draft picks. But one third-round draft pick where you get Ed Oliver almost as good as Draymond, and then Gabriel Davis, who, again, Cortland Sutton, Gabriel Davis. Sutton may be a little more talented, but Davis has stayed on the field more. You got to give up the third-round pick. I'd be okay with that. That's number one of the front range four, the four biggest sports stories on the front range. Let's get to number two. And we get into actual free agency. So the Broncos cut Ronald Darby. And I told you last week when I did the show, I said, oh, gosh, I really hope they keep Darby. But they just saved enough money there. They saved $33.8 million in cap space by cutting Darby, Graham Glasgow, and Chase Edmonds. So we'll start with Darby, who was really, really good in the limited amount of time that he was on the field. He was just injured way too much. So he's gone. And that's, they have Damari Mathis. That's fine. That is fine. They're going to have to go find a backup offensive lineman to replace Glasgow. I think that's fine. That's not a big hole to fill. And Chase Edmonds too. you can find a veteran running back. So those three moves, $27 million, they open up on the books. And the Broncos, again, $33.8 million in cap space, seventh most in the National Football League. And we know what the Broncos' needs are at this point, don't we? Offensive line, right tackle, left guard. Got to get that taken care of. Have to. And I think they will need a left guard if Dalton Risner departs. Then we get to the Draymond Jones issue. If the Broncos cannot sign him, and they're not going to sign him, the defensive line, the interior defensive line, definitely a priority. If he were to return, which I don't think is going to happen, then you can go to other positions and needs. But here are my priorities. I think number one, you got to look at right tackle. Number two, you got to look at left guard. Then defensive tackle, then cornerback depth, maybe a slot guy. Right tackle, left guard, defensive tackle, cornerback. And then down the list a little bit more, maybe you look for depth at tight end. Dulcich didn't stay on the field that much his rookie year. Albert O seems like he's not going to pan out. So outside of right tackle, left guard, defensive tackle, cornerback depth, I think you look at backup quarterback. They're going to need a veteran there. They're going to need a veteran running back at a discount. And there's quite a few of them. I don't think Kareem Hunt is going to be an option because you don't want to spend big money on him. And like we said after the injury, and I think this is going to play out this way, unfortunately, Javonte Williams probably not going to be a legit force on this team till midseason at the earliest. And it seems to take these guys a full year to get their legs back under him after an ACL and a complete reconstruction of the knee. Let's just hope he comes back and he's the same player that he was. But backup QB, veteran running back at a discount, build the team through free agency because you don't have any picks in the first two rounds. You could trade. You could make a trade. And again, Cortland Sutton, if I'm getting Ed Oliver as my defensive tackle and I'm getting Gabe Davis back, slight downgrade at wide receiver, but a guy that can stay on the field more, and then a slight downgrade at defensive tackle, but a guy that will probably fit in the system very, very well, I'm okay with that. That was number two. Let's get to number three on the Front Range Four. Four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. The Nuggets. Okay, we'll start with the game, and then I want to get into what Paul Pierce said about the Nuggets getting popped in the first round if they have to face the Lakers or Golden State. All right? The Nuggets are not looking good. They have lost three in a row. They led by double digits in all three games, and they had a horrible loss to Brooklyn yesterday. Jokic had a chance to win it, didn't hit the shot, and it was a nationally televised game. So it's interesting. You look at the odds on Bet Rivers, he is minus 400 to win the MVP is Nikola Jokic. Now, I think personally, he's still going to be the MVP. But you look at the odds today, we have a massive shift. Jokic goes from minus 400 to minus 305. Embiid goes from plus 300 to plus 250. Wow, what a swing. A three-game slump here, three-game losing streak, and probably a five-game slump for the Nuggets. A missed shot on national television. A whole bunch of clips coming out on Twitter where Jokic is getting cooked defensively. So is it time? If you got in on a Jokic MVP bet at plus money, I think it's time to hedge that just a little bit with Embiid at plus 250. I told you from the start, these voters, some of them don't want to give Jokic a third straight MVP. Now, it's not because of what Kendrick Perkins said. It's not because he's white. I mean, that's just stupid. It's because, A, the guys that have the MVPs, Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, now, is Jokic really in the same class as them? He could be. He's not in the same class as Michael Jordan or LeBron. They don't have three straight MVPs. Heck, they took the MVP away from Michael Jordan like every single year they played. For about six straight years, he could have been the MVP, but they decided to pass it around. Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, here and there. But this MVP race, it's a little bit tighter. And there's going to be a big push from the national media that sees Embiid play all the time. And they're going to say, oh, here we go. It's time for Embiid to win his MVP. When really Giannis, to me, has been more valuable than Embiid. But it's the narrative. MVP is a lot of narrative. But whatever. Let's get back to this. Nuggets as a team, not good. Yeah, and even Malone said this after the loss to Brooklyn. He goes, the last three games, our defense has been non-existent. The other thing is, two of those three games, their offense has been worse than their defense. It's just a bad, bad streak they're going through. And Malone said, hey, we're looking for guys that can guard. Then there's Michael Porter Jr. The odd incident with Zach Collins where he dunks on the guy, says something to him. Collins sneaks up from behind him. Porter puts his hand on his neck, and that becomes a debacle. And now it seems as though Malone's kind of fed up with him because he sat him the whole fourth quarter except for the final 20 seconds. That doesn't make sense. What are they doing here? What's Malone doing? What is Porter Jr. doing? What is this team doing? And then we're getting back to what happened last year, and this proves how valuable Jokic is again. He sat for 9 minutes. Thomas Bryant had to come in and play. Nuggets outscored by 15 with Jokic on the bench for those 9 minutes. Bench has to be better. Small ball. This is going to be a point of contention here. Small ball worked against the Nuggets in the third quarter yesterday. Brooklyn ran it to a T. And with that small ball lineup, they outscored the Nuggets 37-18. The Nets did everything they could to prevent Jokic from running the offense. They doubled him when he was on the catch. They fronted him before he had the ball. And guess what? The Nuggets didn't make him pay. This thing continues down the stretch. Like, if this team flounders down the stretch, you're going to see Embiid. The national media is going to get on that train, and it might be unstoppable. Let's get to what Paul Pierce said, though. Let's stick with the Nuggets. It's not all negative. I mean, they're still the best team in the West right now. I still think they match up with anybody well in the West. But Paul Pierce, guy I love because he went to Kansas. He goes, if the Denver Nuggets see the Lakers, if they see Golden State, they gun get popped in the first round. So Pierce seems to believe that the Nuggets will be upset by a team with championship experience. And that would obviously be the Lakers and Golden State. So Denver would go to the postseason with the number one seed, in all likelihood, facing one of the play-in game teams. So let's break this down. First of all, the Lakers, they aren't guaranteed a playoff spot. And LeBron, at his age, we're starting to see his body break down. We saw it last year. We're seeing it this year. He's injured. If he comes back, is it going to be 100%? Is it going to be close to 100%? I don't know. You've got Anthony Davis, AD. When the wind blows the wrong direction, this guy like breaks an ankle or something. He can't stay on the floor. But let's just say they're at full strength, right? What about the rest of the team? They got D'Angelo Russell and a bunch of nothing. As bad as the bench has been recently for the Nuggets, just up and down that roster, even 1 through 9, give me the Nuggets. Give me the Nuggets. Can they play plus? Can the Lakers play small ball and do what the Nuggets have not done well defending? Small ball? Well, not with AD on the floor. So I think it's not a bad matchup for the Nuggets. The next thing with the Lakers is, if they are at full strength, then I can see a long series between the two teams. I still think that the Nuggets come out on top. As for the Warriors, so the Nuggets in the offseason basically built their team to take down the Warriors. They got KCP. They got Bruce Brown. Christian Brown, they drafted him not to beat the Warriors, but please, Michael Malone, stop having grudges against rookies. Play this guy. Energy. Winner. Love him. Another Kansas guy. Christian Brown. Let's go. Now, the Warriors and the Nuggets probably wouldn't face to what, round two? But that's going to come down to Draymond and Jokic. You know, Jokic is going to have to carry this team in every single series. As great as he has been in the regular season, he's probably going to have to be more valuable and better in the postseason. And the Warriors, as far as this matchup, they aren't the same right now without Wiggins. They're too small. And the small ball is fine, but they're way too small. Like, Gordon and Jokic would clean up on the boards. So again, you've got on one side the Lakers that I think the Nuggets are better. Maybe they'll get all the calls because they're the Lakers. But I still think that the Nuggets get past them. And as far as the Warriors go, maybe they play small ball and win. I just don't see it happening. I see the Nuggets beating both these teams in the playoffs. There's a caveat here. And that caveat would be this team has to clean it up and get back to playing like they were playing before the last five games. That's the Nuggets. And that is number three on the Front Range Four. Here's number four on the Front Range Four. So Colorado, the Buffs, are going to the NIT. There's no Colorado teams in the NCAA tournament this year. It's unfortunate. But the cool thing is we get games in Denver. And it is a pretty price to get into these games at Ball Arena. Very expensive. But I will say this. There is no better experience than going to an NCAA game over one of the first 4 days. And especially the first 2 days. Because you get to go to a place and watch four games. And usually, at a minimum, you're going to get two great games and one that comes down to the wire at the least. It's just, if you've never been to an NCAA tournament game, especially early on, you're missing out. You got to find a way to get here. So here are the games. We've got UC Santa Barbara taking on Baylor. So I like this Baylor team, and I have seen this Baylor team quite a bit, given that I watch a ton of Big 12 basketball. And they're a team that is built from the outside. Now, the lines on BetRivers, Baylor minus 10 at minus 112. UC Santa Barbara to pull the upset, plus 410, 144 is the total here. To break it down, what players do you want to see that'll go to the NBA? We can get into that. Baylor won it all 2 years ago. And the kid that you're going to want to watch is Keontae George, who's got a chance of being a lottery pick. Probably is a lottery pick. He's one of the Bears' three sensational guards. Him, Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer. They have one of the best adjusted offensive efficiency ratings in the country. Now, Baylor did struggle defensively. They're small inside. They're going to need a way to flip the switch here in March. They take on UCSB, top 75 team in adjusted offensive efficiency. They do play slow. They play three guards, two forwards. Their forwards are 6'9 and 6'10. Could have some issues for Baylor in the paint. But I think Baylor controls the tempo here. I know 10 is a big number. I like Baylor minus 10. So that's the 11:30 start. The next start is going to be North Carolina State out of the ACC taking on Creighton, and a Creighton team that not only am I backing big time, that the country likes a lot. And this was a team that a few people that I respect had either getting to the Final Four or winning the championship preseason. Creighton, a hot name. Minus 5, taking on NC State on Bet Rivers. NC State plus 180. Creighton minus 225. 148 is the total. I'm not going to deal with the total in this one. What I am going to say, Creighton has Ryan Nemhard, one of the best point guards in all of college basketball. A kid by the name of Baylor Shireman. You're going to want to look at him. Tremendous shooter on the perimeter. And a good center as well. So they've got good wing players, good guards, good center. NC State has a garbage resume, and it comes down to quality wins. They don't have it. They played in the ACC too. But look out for a kid by the name of Turquavion Smith. He's a sophomore, and he's a guy that right now is not a lottery pick, but is getting big buzz for the NBA draft. Really, really good offensive player. So Turquavion Smith, a guy you might want to keep an eye on. Give me the favorite again, Creighton minus 5. Then there is Gonzaga. Every year, Gonzaga has these gigantic expectations. And this year, there really wasn't. This wasn't a great season for them. St. Mary's had a better regular season. And then you get into their tournament, Gonzaga turned it on big time. And they laid the wood to Mount St. Mary's. So Gonzaga playing well. Here's the problem. I don't trust them against the spread. This is going to be a pass for me because Gonzaga's minus 16. When I saw this open on Sunday night, it was 14. A lot of money coming in Gonzaga. It might be a game where you want to bet it live. You know Drew Timmy, right? If you're going to this game and you've watched any college basketball, Drew Timmy of the Zags, probably the best big man in college basketball the last 2 years. They do have a top 20 pick in Julian Swarther. And again, this team just destroyed St. Mary's in the West Coast Conference tournament. So I like them a lot. Grand Canyon does have the 54th ranked offense, but their defense is 198th and the weakest in the whole field. So if you, I wouldn't blame you for looking at the total here at 156.5. -115, -157 is -110. This will be the highest total that's out there. And if the game starts slow, you're going to get a better number coming down around 150. I would target this game around 150 live. There will be no pregame bet for me. And then the last game coming up that I don't want to handicap because we don't know who TCU is playing. TCU will either play Arizona State or Nevada, and those two teams are playing in the first four. So again, pass on Gonzaga, looking at it live, a total of over 150 if it gets there live. I like Creighton -5. They've got some fun players. Again, NC State probably has the best player professionally. Terquavion Smith. God, I love that name. What a tremendous name. And then last but not least, the first game that's there, Baylor, UC Santa Barbara. Give me Baylor. And they have Keyonte George, and you're going to want to watch him play basketball. It's Ian St. Clair. It's his weekly hit. We love us, Ian St. Clair here, because we get to talk some Broncos, we get to talk some Avs, maybe a little Nuggets, maybe a little NCAA tournament. You went to the Avs game the other night. What was that, Saturday night when McCarr had the game winner?
It was a weird 4 o'clock start. Like, I've been going to Avs games since 98. So I don't think I've ever been to a 4 o'clock game. Like they usually do like one. So it was nice because, and I know the players love afternoon games because they get the rest of the night to recover and get away from the rink. But I mean, after that first period, the second and third period was some of the best Avs hockey that we've seen since the win a couple weeks ago against Calgary. So it was a beautiful goal and a play by McCarr, set up by McKinnon, and much needed 2 points.
How are we feeling about him these days? I'm feeling really good. 78 points. I'm starting to think maybe they don't catch Dallas when it's all said and done. But again, they could pick up some ground here with two games to play and a nice schedule. But I'll say this, the last, 6 weeks or so, even though they had a little dip there, I feel much better about this team's chances to repeat.
Oh, absolutely. If you go back to where I'd say the date is January 14th, they've been the best team in the Western Conference.
Oh, okay.
Prior to that point, I was with you. I was like, man, this team might struggle to make the playoffs. But I think the thing that stands out to me about this team is, and I think I saw a tweet from Adrian Dater, who has been around the Avs forever. He said that what he's hearing is the goal is to get Gabriel Landeskog for game one, round one. Ooh. And I think that's the goal for this whole team, is to just be ready for the playoffs. And I think the exhibit or the evidence or whatever it is that they want the model to follow is Tampa Bay, where, you know, if Tampa Bay gets into the playoffs, they're a contender. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I asked you this question before, I'll ask it again. Do you think that Toronto wants to play Tampa Bay again?
No. Nobody wants to play the Avs. Nobody. Not Vegas. No,
regardless if they're the Dallas. 3 seed in the Central, the 2 seed in the Central, or the 1 seed in the Central, because they have the experience of going on the road and winning massive playoff games. They closed out St. Louis on the road. They closed out Edmonton on the road. They closed out Tampa Bay on the road. So they have experience, and massive experience, big game experience on the road. So that's it's not going to disrupt them or hurt them to play on the road.
Okay. They're the 7 seed in the West, a game ahead of Winnipeg, 78 points, 77 for Winnipeg, but they got 2 games in hand. They either have 2 or 3 games in hand on every team in the West. So I'm going to ask you if they catch the team ahead of them, okay? They played 3 less games than Edmonton. Edmonton's 2 points ahead. They catch Edmonton? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seattle
How about the Kraken getting good as fast as they've gotten? Two games in hand on the Kraken, 3 points behind. They catch the Kraken.
Yeah.
Minnesota, two games in hand, 5 points behind. Do they catch Minnesota?
Yes, because they have a home game against Minnesota.
What about the Kings? They're 7 games back, but or 7 points back with 3 games to play.
I'd say that it'll be close.
Okay.
Because here's the key for all of this, though. The Avs have one of the easiest remaining schedules in the National Hockey League.
Correct. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're the 4 seed. Whoever the hell the 5 seed is, I mean, whether the Kings fall or Seattle or Edmonton or Winnipeg, any of these teams. And then you get to face the number 1 seed in the second round. And I'm all for that. Just get over that hump right there. Just go beat the hell out of Vegas or Dallas. I'm so buying into this team right now. And I know Absolutely. We have waves and up and down, but I feel as good about this team now as I have this season.
Absolutely. Because I think you're going to see this team get healthy for the playoffs. If you get Landeskog for game 1, mm-hmm. I think Josh Manson will be back for the playoffs. I think Darren Helm will be back for the playoffs. And Eric Johnson is way ahead of schedule. So they're going to have Eric Johnson back. So this team, you're going to get major pieces back. And Gabriel Landeskog getting the chance to basically, I'm not saying he's missing the whole season, but he's going to be ready to go. I have no doubt about it.
They got Montreal on the road tomorrow. Weird start time, 5:38 our time. So I guess they do the 8 thing up in Canada. The Blue Jays do 07. The Canadiens do 08, probably because they just want to one better the English-speaking people in that country. But -1.5, the puck line for the Avalanche, -110. They should handle this team.
I would go with the 60-minute line.
That's 250 -255. I can't. The 60-minute line. It's probably still -200, but still. Yeah, -175. You throw that in a parlay if you wanted to, but this is a game where they should just pick up 2 points. You really shouldn't even have to think about it. They don't want to be disappointing, obviously. Okay. Was supposed to go to the Nuggets game. Didn't get there. Did watch a lot of it on TV. This team can't play defense right now. They've lost 3 games in a row. The Nets played some small ball. They couldn't keep up with them. Michael Porter Jr. For a half a second, choked the guy earlier in the week, was benched for the fourth quarter, played the last 20 seconds. Doesn't make sense. Listen, every team's going to go through a funk. Everybody's saying now the Lakers are going to beat them in the first round or the Warriors are going to beat them in the playoffs. How are you feeling about the Nuggets?
I think it's good for them to experience this, to get remotivated, to have something that Michael Malone can go to you and say, you know how good you've been all year? You're not right now. And if you play like this in the playoffs, you're going to lose. So I think this is a remotivating factor. I think the other thing that's popped off over the last 3 games is how bad the bench is. That's going to be an issue, I think, in the playoffs, because if Nikola Jokic or Jamal Murray get taken off the floor, we're back to that point of how bad is it going to get? Because they're going to get breaks. Yeah. So I think Christian Braun needs to be on the floor. I think that's been something that's been shown over the last 3 games. I think it's been shown over the last couple of months. But you're also paying Michael Porter Jr. So there has to be a way to get them both on the floor, because you're paying Michael Porter Jr. huge money. He's got to be on the floor. So there has to be a way to get Christian Braun and Michael Porter Jr. on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, Braun's just so good energy-wise, so good defensively. He's a glue guy in his rookie season. He's going to start for this team down the line. So I think Malone, one big knock on him is he just hasn't trusted his young guys since he's been here. Like, for a rookie to play, you just have to go above and beyond. And I think that's a weakness here if he doesn't play Brown a lot more down the stretch. But a little bit of concern, but ultimately this team should get back on track. You know, if this lasts another 3 games, maybe even 2 games, and teams are starting to play small ball and they're not adjusting to that, then I get nervous. And I'll also say this, if this team struggles, I do wonder if Embiid starts creeping up in that MVP race. -400 for Jokic, it's been over. Now you're starting to see clips on the internet. Jokic defense, he's not playing defense. The Nuggets aren't playing defense. You know, he's the MVP, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to start hearing this. Embiid. You'll hear it again. He's still minus 400, but I do wonder if that race gets a little tighter.
And here's the thing. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been a better player this year than Joel Embiid.
Yes.
And he's not getting any discussion. If anyone should be closing the gap on Jokic, it's not Embiid. It should be Giannis Antetokounmpo. And he's not getting it. So that shows me that it's the MVP is going to be Jokic.
Thank you very much for just putting it so succinctly. I think you've had it very succinctly. Hey, we've been here talking for 9 or 10 minutes. We haven't even brought up free agency with the Broncos. Draymond's gone. But you know what was fascinating? They have the 7th most cap room in the NFL. Like, just letting go of Darby and Edmonds. And who else did they let go of? Was it Glasgow?
Glasgow.
I mean, to get rid of those other
moves, and there's other moves they can make to get even more.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit, I feel a little bit better about the offseason now. Peyton needs to do better in free agency. He didn't do a great job in free agency last year. The Randy Gregory move, I know it was one where they had to get a pass rush, but that's just not going to pan out. He's just never on the field. With all that being said, I mean, this is an opportunity here with a couple of good tackles and a couple of good guards. Maybe they go out and they can rebuild this offensive line of free agency, because I just don't think you can do it in the draft. You can't take 3rd and 4th round offensive linemen and just plug them in. It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And I think this is another win, potentially, is with the money that Draymond Jones is being discussing to be getting, 18 to 20. Now you're talking 3rd round compensatory pick, which is massive. So you're going to get a potential 3rd round pick for Draymond Jones. Now, obviously, you'd like to keep Draymond Jones, but not at that money. I don't think Draymond Jones is worth that. So they have to protect and do everything they can to get that 3rd round compensatory pick. On top of, as you say, rebuilding the offensive line. I get it. A lot of people, especially at Mile High Report, want George Payton and Sean Payton to build the offensive line through the draft. With what draft picks? They need to fix the offensive line right now. And they have the ability to do that, because this is the first instance that we're going to see Walmart money at play.
Walmart money, baby.
Because look at what Stan Kroenke and Les Snead have been able to do to avoid the salary cap to get that to a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
They just pay huge bonus money. Look at what the New Orleans Saints just did. They were in cap hell and they somehow signed Derek Carr. Mrs. Benson does not have the money that the Walton Penner Group has. So if Greg Penner wants to upgrade this team, it'll be through the offensive line, and that's how they'll do it. And I think Mike McGlinchey should be on the radar. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bradbury, the center from the Vikings. You could potentially get the center for the Colts, who's now potentially available. There's a couple of guards at play. So
yeah,
there's ways to rebuild this offensive line very quickly, and I think it'll start on Monday.
Listen, I'm not a offensive lineman connoisseur, but the guy from the Falcons, McGeary, the right tackle, a guy from the Ravens, the left guard, Ben Powers. I'm just looking at, you know, the listings here, the guys at the top, and there's a lot of tackles and a few guards. And then you're going to have to replace Draymond. And I was a little disappointed to see Darby go, but then I looked at, he's just missed too much time. Like, when he was on the field, he was a total stud, right? But there's another position. So they're going to need 2 offensive linemen, a starting offensive lineman, a starting defensive tackle, and a starting cornerback in free agency. Am I missing anything?
So that potential cornerback could be the guy that we just saw in the Eagles in the Super Bowl, who was traded from the Saints, who has a connection to Sean Payton. So that could potentially be the cornerback that could be signed. And mm-hmm. I'll throw out another one. I am all aboard Von Bell. The guy just helped flip the culture in Cincinnati, coming from the Saints to the Bengals in 2000. So I am all on Von Bell. The dude never leaves the field. He's been a huge part of that defense that led him to a Super Bowl and then back to the AFC Championship game this year. So you get Von Bell, and then you get the cornerback from the Eagles, and his name is escaping me right now because I can never remember it, but he was traded from the Saints last offseason, and Sean Payton hated the move. Like, he could not believe that the Saints traded him, and he was just in the Super Bowl. So you pair him alongside Pat Sertan And then you get Von Bell to play next to
Bradbury. James Bradbury. I thought Bradbury was there for a long time, though.
No, it's the other one. It's
gosh darn it. This is gonna drive me nuts.
Johnson?
He's a free agent?
Yes. They're not the Eagles aren't gonna be able to re-sign him.
Okay. I mean, the Eagles got a lot of free agents too.
CJ Gardner Johnson.
Okay, very good. Chauncey Gardner Johnson. This is real name. Yes. I thought he was a safety though.
No, he's a cornerback.
Okay, very good. Very good. I like it. So we'll see what the Broncos do there. It's a big week there. And then anytime you get the NCAA tournament in town, you should be very excited. I mean, I am. I'm really pumped up. We got the 6-seed Creighton against the 11-seed NC State. We got Baylor, great team, won the championship 2 years ago, 3-seed against UC Santa Barbara. Then you got TCU against a play-in game, Arizona State, Nevada, which, by the way, I watch a lot of Nevada in the Mountain West Conference. That's, woo, they could give TCU a run. And then Gonzaga and Grand Canyon, the 3-14 matchup, which you say, oh, there's going to be a ton of points in this game. So how much interest in the NCAA tournament? How much interest in the games in Denver?
I think there should be interest in college basketball. I mean, obviously, it doesn't help that none of the men's teams mm-hmm. are going to be around. I think it's cool that the CU women have played as well as they have this year. So that's something else that you'll be able to have some betting interest in, is what the Lady Buffs are able to do in the NCAA women's tournament. But I think there should be. I mean, it's the NCAA tournament. There should be fans going down to Ball Arena to watch these first and second round games. And I think in terms of the bracket, you always look at the 5-12 matchup. Those are always the ones that produce the upsets.
Oh, let me go get my stat here real quick, because there's such a good one. Like if you just blind bet the, you know, the 11-12 seeds, you're going to be making money. And there's fascinating trends you can look at when you're building your bracket. You know, for me, it's pretty simple when I build my bracket. I'm just, who do I think is going to win the championship? Who are the other guys in the Final Four? And then I'll just build it out from there. You know, my Kansas team, I don't have as much confidence in them as I did last year. I'll tell you that much. There's some other teams like Arizona, I think, has a very good shot to make a run. Maybe this is Gonzaga's year to make the big run and win it all when nobody expects them to do anything. And they're going to be playing here. And then Baylor's going to be in the mix. I know that they're not that great inside. They're not as big as they have been in the past, but they got great guard play. So it's entirely possible. We have teams that make a real deep run, and TCU's healthy now. TCU, Baylor, and Gonzaga. We got three teams here that could legit make the Final Four. So if you're going to any of these games, enjoy it, because they'll be good teams, real good teams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one team to keep an eye on is Duke. I'm curious what the Blue Devils look like in the first NCAA Ooh. Tournament without Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah, but they have been playing they won 9 straight. So that's a really hot team that, of course, nobody wants to play, but they're a really hot team. All right, my friend, plug everything you're doing, because you do a lot, and I really do appreciate it. I want you to know that.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be following all the free agency stuff at milehighreport.com. We'll have a tracker up that tracks literally every rumor report. And then once signings start happening on Wednesday at 2:00, we'll have all the signings. And then at playcolorado.com, we're tracking all the latest in sports betting, casino news, all that stuff. And it doesn't look like we're going to have any online casinos. States that bring on online casino this year, there's still some possibilities, but this is not looking like the year. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But got sports betting in Massachusetts now, so we'll see what happens with Colorado and going forward with free agency.
All right, my friend, it's a busy week. Appreciate it. Thanks to Adam, Melissa, Terry behind the scenes. You guys are awesome. I'll be back with a tournament preview. We'll do it a day early this week. We'll do it on Wednesday, so be tuned for that. We'll talk some Broncos free agency as well. And thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.